Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Glamour. Hey, it's okay. We're going to talk about some very serious issues. Well, in brackets, not very at all, actually, but they're sort of important to us and important to the glamour world. Joining me today are Lisa Harvey, our deputy features editor.
Hello.
And lovely Becky Fern, our junior beauty writer.
Hello.
And not last but not least, very excited today to introduce vlogging and blogging YouTube sensation of our age.
Thank
a real
you.
21st century icon, ladies and gentlemen. Louise Pentland.
Hello. Thank you. I would like you to introduce me to everything always like that.
Oh, yeah. Louise, you are now a fully fledged grown-up adult of the interwebbing world. Until recently, you had you've still got it. They're hugely successful YouTube channel, Sprinkle of Glitter, and that's how most of your fans know you.
Yes.
But you're, I don't know, you're sort of like busting out of that shell, is that right?
Yes, I'm still actually keeping the channel Sprinkle of Glitter. That's not going to be changed. The URL is staying the same. However, when I started as Louise Pentland and just kind of fell into being this very sweet persona of Sprinkle of Glitter, because even just the name Sprinkle of Glitter sounds sweet and cute.
Yeah.
I didn't really mean to do that, but it happened naturally. And then a couple of years ago, really, I started to feel like that didn't feel quite natural to me, but I didn't know how to get out of it. And I thought, well, that's what you do. You put on like your internet face or your filming face and you do that. And then I just got to a point earlier this year where I just thought, I can't do this anymore. Mm. It's really boring. And if I'm bored of my own videos, how can I possibly expect other people to want to watch them? And how can I really tell people to watch them with any conviction? Like, go and watch my great new video if I don't think it's great. So I just thought I would fuck it all off and do what I want to do.
But if you're doing that, I'm really fascinated by it, because I think that, you know, the YouTube world, it sort of exploded from nowhere. Mm-hmm. I think it's really reached a maturation point over the last couple of years, hasn't it? Where mm-hmm. some of you guys are like really mainstream celebrities now. I'm thinking of you, Tanya, Zoella, people like that. But then it's suddenly then I think you're all at that point where you were all very, very young when you started.
Yeah, really young.
And now you're adults. And I mm-hmm. think that even in my own house with my own daughter, who's sort of like a huge fan of lots of you guys, I wonder if she's going to struggle with you, you know, sort of like wanting to shed that sort of like that tweeny targeting. Do you know what I mean?
She might do. Mm. And for a long time, I didn't change because I was worried about that, because of all the mums that say, oh, my daughter loves you, and all the little girls say, I love you so much. But there comes a point where I have to just say, I'm not your child's entertainer.
Mm.
I would like you to watch my videos. I would like their mums to watch my videos, because I'm a mum. I don't watch a certain variety of video that these young people are wanting to watch. I don't want to make that either. I want to make stuff that I want to make. I liken it to when you go and see your grandma, you don't tell her that you went out last night and did several Jaeger bombs, or you don't tell them, you know, what sort of sex you've been up to.
Well,
this
my
week.
Nanny was always too hungover to get into that conversation.
Well, your nan sounds yeah. great, but yeah. I wouldn't tell my grandma that. I'd be very like prim and proper, and that's what I was doing. But now I don't want to get rid of my channel. I'm not finishing it. I'm not leaving it. I'm still the exact same person, except now I want to talk to my audience not like they're my grandma or my younger cousin. I want to talk to them like they're my sister or my friend or my equal. So I'm still me, and it's still staying. It's just evolving, and I think it's exciting. Some people have taken it quite literally, and they're like, oh, it's the end. It's not the end. It's the beginning, and it's exciting.
I wondered if you've suddenly, right, I've got an adult channel now. I was a bit like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. No, I saw a few people.
Cue the porn guitars.
Yeah, that's what I read on a few news outlets had done, like, Louise Penton and vows to make adult content. I was like, Jesus, my dad doesn't read this.
Or your grandma.
Or my grandma.
So what is your content going to be? Now, I think that you've always stood out to me as being more rounded with your content anyway. I'll be honest, I don't really know much about your sort of like glitter craft kind of that side of the channel, but I do know a lot about you talking about being really real about your relationships, about anxiety. You did a lovely piece for us in the print Glamour about that. And I think that, have you made a conscious decision about where you're going to go with your content?
No, my decision is, if I would talk to my friend about it, I want to make a video about it. So many things have happened in my life in the past couple of years that I've kept private. I've become a more and more private person, keeping more and more and more offline for fear of offending or being too adult in nature. Like dating, Tinder, using Tinder. That's the thing I've done for like a year, not at the moment, but that's the thing I did. It was hilarious. I would often ring my friends or my manager and be like, guess what? Ha ha ha. We would laugh for ages. None of that stuff ever made it. I just want to be able to be free with what I want to say. So I want to sit down and not have to censor myself. So I've got a few ideas of things I want to touch on. I want to touch on more on body confidence, but instead of body confidence in teenagers, I'd like to talk about body confidence during sex. Mm. I would like to talk about motherhood, but not quite as freely. I'd like to be able to make videos and say what's really actually a bit shit about it, or stuff that's actually really easy and I don't understand why people make a fuss. But before, I wouldn't have done it for fear of them being like, oh, you're so smug, or oh, you're so rubbish. Now I just think, if you think that about me, I feel mature enough to handle that. That's fine. You can think that. I don't mind.
And you, I mean, you've got so many followers and subscribers. It's like millions, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What is it at last count? Don't pretend you don't know.
Oh, I've got no idea. 2.5 point.
Yeah.
That's 2.5 million on my main channel.
I mean, that's incredible, right?
Yeah, it's exciting.
And how does that feel?
And also terrifying.
Yeah. How does that feel to, can you walk down the street without being bothered? Do you know what I mean? All that sort of thing.
Well, unless Justin Bieber is there to distract, absolutely not. No. Yeah, I can. It's fine. It's still a very normal life. It's just occasionally someone will come up and be like, oh, I watch your videos. I'm like, oh, thanks. And they say, can I have a selfie? And I think, oh, God, I wish they didn't look like a sack of crap today. Yeah, sure. And then I just smile and hope they put up a good filter on it.
I'm sure you never look like a sack of crap. Yeah.
Joe, please.
Come on.
Yes, yeah. Like a potato or an egg sometimes.
What kind of a potato?
Like just a baked potato.
A sweet potato. That's what you should have said.
Oh, I should have. Sprinkle of bitter would have said that. Yeah.
You know, I want to know, hey, is it okay if you just don't want to do social media? And I'm very interested in what you've got to say about this. You've made a career of it. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of talks at things like universities and high schools, and I feel like, you know, it used to be sort of optional. My husband just is like such a refuse Nick. He's not on Facebook, he's not on Twitter, any of that stuff, which is quite unusual in this day and age. I think we've actually tipped to the point where if you're young, if you're sort of like a lovely, fresh-faced young millennial like our Becky beauty girl here, it's almost like you can't have a career anymore if you don't have a social media presence. Do you think that's true?
Well, I couldn't have my career without a social media presence. That'd be very challenging.
Yeah.
I don't think you can't have a career if you don't have a social media presence. It's just you can't have specific careers if you don't have one. But you could say that for anything, couldn't you? You could say you couldn't be an athlete if you weren't into sport. You could say all sorts of things. You couldn't be an artist if you weren't into art. It's the same as you couldn't work in social media without having social media.
Yeah, but I think that even if I was, you know, interviewing somebody for a bank job, and, you know, all employers now do Google their employers, they look for what they've been doing on Facebook and all those things. I have to admit, I do think that I would think you were a bit weird if you didn't have any of that now.
Yeah. It's almost like, what have you got to hide?
Yes.
Or and also, I mean, there's a lot to be said for, you know, social media providing jobs. And you know, it's a great access and a great portal for people to find jobs as well. And I think, I think there, for me, there are certain times when it's okay not to use social media and not be on social media or have social media breaks. For example, if you're going through a breakup, or my sister, she recently, she had a baby last year, and she said she recently read a really interesting piece about social media does bring up that constant comparing and questioning.
Yeah.
And at a time when you do feel like you're most vulnerable or a really challenging mm-hmm. time, it's so easy for social media to lend itself to the more, you know, that negative side pulling on your insecurities. So I can see breaks.
I think there's pros and cons. Yeah. Like with your sister had a baby. My friend recently had a baby as well, and she's turned to social media a lot for support. So she's got apps and forums, and she Snapchats her baby all the time, so we can all like see her and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Mumsnet was my therapy when I was at home on my own with a baby and not knowing what to do. And
did you ever read the most amazing forum on Mumsnet? When you go back to your desk, please. Penis in a cup, the penis beaker. Just search Mumsnet penis beaker. Yeah, we've got someone nodding over there. Yeah, brilliant. They've never reached the dizzying
height. Can't wait.
I tell you, literally, the best thing about working at a job like Glamour is there's nothing in my Google search that I can't explain away in a professional capacity in one way or another.
I'm surprised I haven't been fired yet with my search history.
Including and not limited to things like, you know, Justin Bieber's penis, like, you know,
Orlando
it's
Bloom's
penis. All research. But I'm wondering with you, do you ever fantasize about just, I always think you're probably too young, but I remember this scene in EastEnders where Frank Butcher just has an inner meltdown and just leaves Albert Square, just walks out, doesn't take a bag, a wallet, anything, and just focuses on the middle distance and gets the hell out of Albert Square. Do you ever have fantasies of like, I'm just going to...
Well, I do have those times, actually, and I don't know if it's good or depressing, but no one ever notices. So, like, recently I flew away to Spain for 3 days and I didn't tell anyone. In fact, I didn't tell my manager till 2 days before, much to her absolute joy at that memo. And I didn't even look at my phone. In fact, I kept my phone in my bedroom and went out to the pool, and it was the most liberating experience. I didn't even know what the time was.
Yeah, I can totally relate, actually, because I'm going on holiday in, 1st of October, so coming up pretty soon. And I'm kind of like, for those 2 weeks, I'm just looking forward to turning off everything.
Yeah.
And
we're not going to be jealous of your holiday.
Well, maybe a few Instas, maybe a few snaps, but I don't know. I'm really in two minds because I kind of feel like, as a young millennial, if I hadn't have had social media and had that presence, it would have been so much harder for me to get my job at Glamour and to have internships and everything. But at the same time, I know from personal experience, it brings such a stress and anxiety for people of my age. And I really feel for teenagers and people younger than me that are growing up in this generation where if you don't have it, you're judged. But if you do have it, it's just, it brings on so much extra pressure.
Because you're judged anyway.
Yeah. And I'm sure you can relate to this, Louise. God, the mistakes I make on Twitter that get me into trouble that I don't even know. There's always the things that
there's always someone judging.
There's always some throwaway.
Someone with an opinion.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
You've got to be very thick skinned, haven't you?
But it's always like that off the cuff comment that suddenly everyone's enraged about that it didn't occur to me. And then you just feel sick for days, and like, you know, it's
tweet and delete, Joe. Tweet and delete.
There's always screenshots, though.
There's always screenshots. There's always retweeting. But I mean, I want to.
I just want to say, I do love social media.
So do I. I want to wrap this up. I just want to say, I get asked a lot from university students in particular. Oh, should I have a blog? Should I have a blog? And I just don't know if you're good at it. If you're not very good at it, maybe not. I'm not sure if that's the gateway to a media career. I think it used to be something special, I think, but now everybody's got a blog.
And is it now vlog more than blog? Yeah. Like, is blog dated? Yeah. You know, when
I'm falling back in love with my blog at the moment. Yeah, I'm like, I remember
blogs
you.
Are coming back. Okay. I didn't know if they ever went around.
But I don't know either.
There's so many to follow as well, and it does feel in our industry as well. It's like, if you don't have a blog, are you, you know, what's wrong with
that's
you?
That's kind of how I felt when I was, like, looking for my first internships and stuff. I really felt like I had to show off my best, you know, my writing and what I could do. And for that reason, I do think it was really valuable that I had it. But yeah, it's less about my blog, I think, and it was more about social media for me, just always constantly comparing yourself to people. And
the thing about social media is it's new, it's a pioneer industry. So with everything new, no one's set any rules yet. So if you think having a blog is worthwhile to you, write a blog. It's free. If you think it's not and you've got other assets that you could bring to the table, focus on those. It's so new. Yeah. There aren't any standards.
I would agree. And you said exactly, you know, why you're changing your YouTube channel. If you're not passionate about something, it does show through. So don't, kids, take it from me. Don't do a blog if you're thinking, oh, I better do a blog. Do it because you really... You almost have to do it. It's like this need in you to do it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Now I want to talk about fashion, guys.
Yeah.
Everybody at Glamour loves fashion. Mm-hmm. I want to know, is it okay to really shamelessly adore fashion? I got thinking about it when they aired the documentary about our sister magazine, Vogue. And oh my gosh, again, social media was awash with, you know, really pouring scorn on these vacuous, sort of like shallow, you know, really superficial, mean girls and, you know, who care about trivial things like fashion. And I just got so angry on their behalf because I just feel like, I think because fashion is traditionally seen as a women's pursuit, a women's interest, that it's, by society, it's kind of belittled. And in this country especially, we kind of tend to look down on people who do visibly care about their appearance, who do want to buy an expensive pair of shoes. And I just wonder how all you guys feel about fashion and whether or not you do think, you know, maybe you do think it's a vacuous pile of crap. I don't know, but I don't.
I don't. Everybody has to get dressed in the morning and everyone has to put clothes on because it's illegal to go out naked, but there's a difference.
We're working on it.
Yeah. It's not illegal for women to be topless though in the streets. Did you know? I thought it was, but it is not.
Not know
found
that.
That out last
well,
week.
This is information. Not because I was
my Friday night outfit sorted.
Well, I mean, you know, it's very hot today. It's very hot in this cupboard. Actually, feel free, Louise. She keeps trying to make it adult.
So everyone gets dressed, and there's a difference between just getting dressed for the day and loving fashion. I think fashion is a fashion is a passion. Look at me running.
Oh man, there's a job in sub editing for you.
Yeah, that's me. It's a hobby. It's fine to be passionate about something. Some people go and sit for hours in tiny little huts and fields and look for birds. Why is that any more worthwhile than?
Because that's mostly guys who do that.
Good for
them. So anything like train spotting, I mean, I think that's a bit sad, but, you know, anything that's generally a women's thing. And I guess what I'm getting at is, as well, you know, you are frowned upon. It's seen as almost immoral if you spend an eye-watering amount on a handbag or a pair of shoes, but it's...
But why not? I mean,
But it's not seen as obscene in the same way if you buy a really expensive car or... And, you know, I know that cars are possibly more durable than a handbag. I get it. But what's the problem?
Not necessarily. Some people look after their bags really well, don't they?
And some cars are terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just kind of feel like, why can't we let people be interested in what they're interested in? Why do we have to justify fashion in a way that we don't have to justify other interests and pursuits?
Well, let's stop doing that then. Let's stop talking about it and stop saying, oh, is it vacuous? We'll just say, no, it's not. I want this bag. I've earned this money. This is my money. I've bought a bag. I can do whatever the fuck I like. So let's stop apologising.
It's no different to people going out and spending God knows how much on an iPhone 7 or, like you said. And I think, for me, I think fashion, you know, it's become so much part of, like, it's part of your identity. It's a platform to express yourself. And for a lot of people, if that, you know, is all part of what makes them happy, it's like, yeah, go buy that bag.
I think it's also, I mean, there is the dark side of fashion. There is, isn't there? There's that intimidating side. And I think Anna Wintour said it best in that film, The September Issue. It opens, if you haven't seen it, with her saying, basically, I think that people find fashion a bit intimidating and sometimes a bit elitist and not for them, which, you know, I don't think that's necessarily true, but then so the way that people deal with that is to pour scorn on it and say, oh, it's stupid.
Yeah. I think it's a typical thing of, you know, if you're jealous of a person, you know, that's what makes bullies bully, I think. And it's like, if you don't understand fashion and you know, you put it down and you laugh at it and you make a joke of it, and that's their way of dealing with it, I think.
I think a little bit I'm intimidated by fashion in the sense that I don't, and this is going to be much of the horror of lots of people, I don't like London Fashion Week. I don't like going to, I've been to it a couple of times and I didn't enjoy it.
What don't you like about it?
I found that I couldn't find any common ground with any of the other people there. And whether this was my own insecure perception or reality, and it's more likely to be the first one, I felt very out of place there because I'm a plus size woman. I don't follow standard fashion. So at the moment, it's all the 90s stuff in the shops. I hate it. I really hate it. I think everyone here looks great, but I couldn't wear what you're wearing and look or feel nice in it. Although I look at you and think you look great.
Well,
so I love fashion.
But ditto, Louise. I couldn't wear what you're wearing. Yeah. I have a weird kind of like long torso. So anything, I can't wear something that's beautiful, an hourglass like that, because it cuts me in the wrong place and I just feel like I need to go to the loo all day, to be quite honest with you.
But, so I love fashion in the sense that I love styling myself, and I love seeing, like, your shirt, I enjoy it. It's got, you can't see this because it's a podcast, but it's got all little faces on and it's fun. I enjoy it. So I enjoy to watch and see fashion, but I don't covet it perhaps in the same way a lot of other people do. And I prefer fashion on a more personal level. So finding a nice shirt that like fits nicely on my boobs rather than, okay, what's on the runways in Paris this season.
But it makes me sad to hear you say, I just didn't feel a part of it. I didn't. And I think you said, you know, you feel like the wrong body shape to be part of that whole thing, and I hear that a lot. When I think about London Fashion Week and those audiences, I personally find fashion much more democratic than it's ever given credit for. I feel like I, you know, like everybody else who sits in the front row, I do sit around and stress about my outfits before I go. What should I wear? What should I wear? And I'm always constantly amazed at the range of individuality, which I think that gets glossed over. Oh, they're all sheep. They all wear the same thing and they all follow the trends. You'd be absolutely amazed. And I don't feel like, you know, I know people in fashion of all shapes and sizes as well. Mm-hmm. So I wonder why it has this enduring kind of stereotype. Do you know what I mean? That it's only for size six twigs.
The models, because the models are all very, very slender, young girls. I would love to see short girls most of them on runways at all. I would like to see bigger girls. I would like to see all kinds of different people on there. And I appreciate that the clothes hang a specific way on them, or they've made sample sizes. But it would be nice to see a variety of body shapes at London Fashion Week. I know there are specific fashion shows for curvier women, and I hate that.
I agree. I can't stand it.
I think, why are you doing that? I almost feel like it's making it worse to be like, okay, so we're curvy or we're bigger, we're plus size, we're gonna have our own thing.
I had a fashion dinner to go to last night, and I was talking to a stylist about this, and she's finding it frustrating that with a lot of designers, she can't even get the samples that fit her waifiest clients. So for some reason, and I don't know what it is, a lot of designers are making their samples smaller and smaller and smaller, to the point though where I think there's starting to be a backlash about that. So I think that that will be hopefully move on. But I do feel like the fashion world does throw up, you know, Sophie Dahls, Winnie Harlows, people like that. I think actually fashion is often looking for those individual interesting muses.
Interestingly, but I think social media is playing a huge part in celebrating women of different shapes, sizes, heights, every type of different thing. I don't want people to think, oh, it's just big or small. It's all kinds of varieties of people. I'm noticing that I follow a lot of plus size models. I follow a lot of normal models. You see, I just did it there. It's so ingrained. I said normal models. Mm. Like plus size isn't normal.
Mm.
You're so ingrained in thinking size 10 normal, size anything else plus size. And even me that like works in the industry where I talk about curvy and plus size, I still do it. So it's just society, I think.
But you caught yourself, see? Yeah. And this is where I think the difference is. I think that society is retraining itself. And I agree with you. I think social media has played a big important part in people going, you know, we're not going to take this anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think we all, and you know, we work hard to celebrate the designers who don't send me a size zero sample, you know, so it's
I think social media is allowing us to choose our own influencers and tailor it to what we want to see, which is nice.
Yeah. And I, you know, I want, as a magazine editor, I want our readers to feel confident in fashion. And I, and it, to me, it's not about, oh, you all have to wear dungarees this year. We try really hard, I think, to, you know, to say, okay, so here's what the runway's doing, but here's, this is what's stylish. We're always trying to do style rather than fashion. We try.
Well, if ever you want a plus size vlog on your cover, Joe, I would be more than happy to step up.
Well,
that.
You know,
sort of throw that out there now, brazenly. That'd be fine by me. I'm free every day. So
let's do it. I've got the studio to go. You can take a picture in a cupboard. I'm sorry, I can't help myself today. What I want to talk about now is I want to sort of like X-rate it up a bit.
Okay.
You're getting ready.
Yes. I'm excited. This is my like first month of foray into this sort of stuff.
Just take your top off and we'll get on with it. All right.
So,
it's not illegal.
You're wearing a beige bra.
No one will judge.
It's beige with old bubbles on it.
I'm sort of like,
all my underwear.
I'm democratic about fashion, Louise, but there are limits.
Well, I'm also wearing what I call to Maddie my fleshy square pants. You know, there's ones that are like control pants, but you... But
they're like bike shorts.
That I am pure
I love
sex
those.
Today, everybody.
People might be surprised that I love a fleshy, what do you call it?
A fleshy square.
I love a fleshy square pant. I don't know, you just feel better, I think, sometimes in yourself.
I feel like...
I have to go to a lot of evening events, and it doesn't really, you know, pouring yourself into a sort of like fairly tight-fitting dress doesn't bode well with the 4 p.m. office stress bloats. So this is where I need the fleshy square pants.
Let me tell you, I know I'm going off topic. I went to the Bridget Jones premiere the other day. Brilliant film, really enjoyed it. And I wore fleshy squares, but then over the top of that, I wore my fleshy cosy, so like a swimming costume of flesh that goes under the bra. I've never felt discomfort like it. So when I got to my car afterwards, which was in an underground car park somewhere, I just took it off in the car park, and then I just drove home not in underwear.
And I wonder how much that CCTV footage is now trading on
eBay. That's why I didn't say the name of the car park.
This is where you can find the CCTV.
We've all kind of got the image now anyway. Yeah. That's it.
It's like squeezing played out of a condom when I come out of like support underwear. It's hideous, but beautiful for me.
There are worse things to squeeze out of a condom. I think you're all right. Anyway, see, I'm kind of like going to make myself look like a massive hypocrite now, because what I want to talk about, is it okay to be a secret prude? I think I am quite a secret prude. And the reason
I'm not getting that vibe.
No.
That's not what I'm picking up.
Well, what I mean is, oh God, I really am going to sound like, who was that old English bag, Mary Whitehouse? It was like, I was walking along a tube platform the other day, and there's movie posters everywhere for that film, that animated film with Seth Rogen and co, Sausage Party. I'm actually really outraged of London by that poster. It's if you haven't seen it, it's a little animated sausage with a really cute little face, and he's at a particular angle that, you know, some of us here have seen other sausage-shaped things at. I mean, it just basically it just looks like a big erection, basically,
right,
and
yeah,
it's like a big old joke. Yeah,
hard penis.
I just feel like it's just the lamest, laziest way that people use to sell anything, and it drives me crazy.
Well, an erection is the basics of sex, isn't it? It's like
Someone get a pen.
Yeah.
I've been doing it wrong. Louise, school me.
Well, when a man and a woman love each other very much, want to share,
or even when they hate each other a lot. Yeah. They're just sort of like taking it out aggressively in the bedroom.
I think it's really hard to be a prude when you work for Glamour, though. Mm. I think in Glamour, like, we know every detail.
I'm quite happy to have a no holds barred conversation, but when it comes to in the print, I'm the one going, I don't think we should be saying the F word there, and everybody kind of laughs at me because I've got the pottiest mouth in the office. But in print, I'm like, oh no. So it's sort of like always clutching my pearls.
There's a balance, definitely.
Yeah.
I think that's a tricky one because I don't think I'm a prude. I will talk about anything to almost anyone. But then if my sister, who is 20 and sexually active, and she's going to hate me saying that, and she can do whatever she likes. If she so much as says, like, oh, last night was great fun, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be sick, please.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to hear about my relatives doing anything of that nature at all.
Horrific, isn't it?
But I think what I mean is, like, there's also, on another train station I go to a lot, there's an ad, a huge big billboard, and it's a man standing in a suit and a woman standing in a skirt suit, and she's looking at his area, he's sort of like crotch area through his trousers. And the headline, the big slow line on the ad is thinking of a bigger package, and it's about a recruitment firm.
It's really crass, and it's really, really stereotypical. And yeah. it's assuming that sex can't be smart. Mm. And I think that's why I do love a lot of our, I'm biased, but our features in the magazine and our amazing new sex editor, new sex editor Gemma Askham, are like the people who have a way of writing about sex, in an informative, fun, sparky way, which doesn't leave you cringing at your desk.
But it's not even about sex, though. It's not about that. It's about...
It seems a bit playground, those sorts of sex jokes.
You know, what I mean is, I just feel prudish about... Okay, so we're selling a piano, so there's a naked woman on top. Or, do you know what I mean? I just don't understand.
We haven't moved on, basically.
Why everything has to be like Benny Hill, you know?
But what do you think about the new Channel 4 dating show, Naked Attraction?
Oh, I haven't seen it.
It's the one where they're all naked and then they're like slowly revealed.
Hideous.
Yeah, and it's hideous. Like full nudity.
I just feel it's a bit end of days, really. I mean, but I don't know if that's just me being an old... boring bag.
Either. I'm 31, so I feel like I'm getting there too.
I'm so much older than you. But do you know what I mean? Like, you're a young person. Tell me, young person.
I was having a discussion about it with one of my best friends the other day, and we both said it is, like, absolutely ridiculous, like, when you watch it and you're, like, cringing behind your pillow.
But you're watching it.
But you're watching it. And the good thing about it, if there is one, is that as a young woman, you know, we're so exposed to perfect bodies and, you know, perfectionism and airbrush and everything, that it's actually quite nice to see women that look like me on that show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that do have curves and that, you know, do have different size boobs and, you know, bum and whatever. And so it's actually quite good in a way to expose younger people to normal body types.
But I think that's
sexy things you can relate to or that are on your level, yes, but stuff that, you know, like in the playground at senior school when boys would like make little comments, you're like, what? Doesn't even make sense. That's the kind of advertising I don't like. So I'm like,
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it is like it's like, that's not sexy. Those adverts, Joe, that you saw, like that, we can all agree that that's...
We're smarter than that.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, we need to sell something. We need to try and make it funny. I know. Let's make a dick joke. It's just like every time.
Sex sells,
every time. And it's interesting, you know, I know that all those very sound, intelligent, sociological reasons for doing a naked show... Mm. That's the fig leaf of why they're doing it. They're doing it because they know that people want to look at bums and willies and boobs. And that's, you know, and everyone's compelled by that. So,
sex and advertising. Did anyone see the recent Maltesers advert?
The around disabled ads.
Yes, brilliant. I thought that was brilliant. I was like, yes, you've talked about sex. You're selling Maltesers. I still like what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm not prudish about that. That's great.
And they were genuinely funny.
They were funny because it was real women. I was like, I could be one of those friends. Mm. I get it. Whereas, like, sausage looking like a hard dick, I don't care.
oh, I get it. I've just got it. I've just got what they've done with that sausage party poster.
But as a grown-up woman, you don't look at a hard dick and go, ha, 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 oh my God, it's a penis, do you? So you wouldn't do it for a poster.
It's like there are smart and clever ways about doing it, and then there are just like lazy attitudes, oh, sex sells, so we're just going to shove something up that looks like an erect penis. Like, it's just lazy.
I felt really told off by Becky.
Yeah. You're just lazy.
Are you going to judge me for that? My most used emoji is the purple aubergine there.
I really enjoy the aubergine, the peach, and then the little splash.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's my thing.
And, like, and the sinkhole. And like the pothole, which I just recently discovered. But then we're going off topic.
See, I'm just feeling really uncomfortable now. you can tell I'm not dating in the social media age where those emojis are apparently very useful.
You don't have to talk anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which face is that one?
It's the one that's like all the teeth showing and wide eyes.
That's the one I don't get, because some people use that when they mean angry and some people use it when they mean they're having a really great time. I don't know which one it is.
Is that their sex face?
I feel awkward.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's the rictus grin, I think.
Well, I'm doing something very wrong because I'm putting it with an aubergine, a peach and a splashy. Yeah. Shit.
Each to their own.
I think you've been sending mixed messages.
I've gone wrong.
But nobody wants those big gnashing teeth near their aubergine. Thank you so much for joining us today, Louise Pentland. It's been an absolute joy. What have you got coming up next? I know you've got a book coming out, is that right?
Yes. I have a 2017 diary, so you can be very organised.
Oh, I can't think about that yet.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah. I have a DVD coming out of my live show, Louise Life, which is a theatre comedy show which touches on dating and the joys or not joys of motherhood and suburban life, which I think is hilarious. Just generally follow me on everything and just buy all my stuff.
And will you come to London Fashion Week with me? I'm going to change your mind.
If I can sit next to you and you'll hold my hand and dress me.
Yes. I will hold your hand. I will stroke your hair.
Otherwise, I'm going to sit at home and cry about it.
And I will feed you all the Haribos from the Glamour Fashion Car.
Oh, that sounds great. I like the fried eggs.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah, thank
you. Your order's in. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.